I do move a lot, and I feel like restrained in the pulpit. I hope you're having a wonderful Sabbath. I understand that usually on Sabbath, to be like 12:30 will be the time. Oh, thank you so much. You're an angel. You usually are walking to your car. Is that correct? But today is a youth Sabbath, so you're probably going to take a couple more hours. Amen? So somewhere looking at me like, is that true, Pastor? Let me give you some hope. I was born and raised in Mexico, and I went to study to Montemorelos University to become a pastor, to study theology. And my first class of public speaking, the professor told me that I had to preach for 20 minutes. And they gave me the privilege to speak in the boys' dorm. It was tough. I went up there, they were looking at me, and I was looking at my notes. I couldn't look at them. And Anthony understands why, right? And I just started preaching. It took me 5 minutes, and I didn't know what else to say. And I went down and sit down. And the professor was looking at me with a paper in his hand. He was, you know, taking points. Did you do it in the right time, you know, in the appropriate way? The boys, and he was looking at me, looked me, sit down. And I felt like, oh, my goodness. We're supposed to do three. Guess what? The second sermon was, I broke the record. It was 7 minutes. And I was supposed to do 20. But today I think I'm going to do those 20 minutes plus. Now it's really hard to keep me on the 5-minute range. It's just, you know, that's usually what the pastors struggle a lot, and I'm a guilty one. But it's an honor to be here with you. Thank you to Diane and Daryl for the invitation. I really appreciate it. And the pastor for allowing me to come here and this beautiful church. I met a few people already. And I met Efrain, I met Angel, I met Kimberly and Anthony that came with me, and Naomi. And I want to meet you. I'll stay to eat, and hopefully also if you keep me here, I'll go all the way for supper. I have to go after to another church after lunch, but thank you for the privilege to be here. I do have a lot of slides here, and I'm just going to go fast for the first because we don't have the time today, but maybe some other time because I owe Diana an extra session for not being able to make it before today, but for some reason, it is not moving. I keep pressing, but it's not moving the PowerPoint. If you guys want to help me over there, that'll be perfect. But let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh God, it's Sabbath, and we love that we are around your family. And today, we just want to focus on your word, to draw from there, to learn from you. So we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you talk to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The sermon for today is good vision. Good vision. And it's not moving, but if you guys want to, I think battery probably die or something and keep turning on. I did miss one thing, and it was introducing myself. My wife is here with me, Jerusi, and three kids, and the Lord probably sent us more as... amen, right? Amen. My wife will smile. I'll say, no. But you know, being a father is one of the biggest blessings, and another big blessing is just work with youth. Throughout my career, I've been involved in youth ministries for quite a while. I come from Virginia, Potomac Conference. I was running a camp up in the mountains, and the Lord called us down the mountain. And we love it. Now Walmart and the the stores are 10 minutes away. Before it was like an hour, 45 minutes. But we feel like we have come down to civilization. I was pastor of the deers and the bears and the, a lot of animals up there. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And the Lord sent us there to learn. And we are here also to learn. I'm in charge of the youth ministries department and here in the New Jersey Conference. And have learned that there's beautiful people here. Wonderful people. And it's not about because, you know, you have a wonderful church right here or wonderful streets, which I have found to learn that there's like 7-8 different ways for the GPS to get to one church. And, you know, there are many roads. But the wonderful thing is the diversity. It's a beautiful church. It is a beautiful church. If I look around, I see people from many, many, many places, many backgrounds. And I just know that this is a taste of heaven. The Lord says that from all nations, from all tribes, from all tongues, we're going to go and praise Him. Amen. And if you're understanding me so far, it's just because of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is doing a miracle with me, translating this to you. And it's not me. It's not me. I came to this country and I was a bit old already for learning the language. So please forgive me. Sometimes this doesn't come across well, but I know you don't understand through the screen, at least to the PowerPoint. Amen. There are a few things that I want to share with you, and you can just roll. There's a few events. You can go to our website, njcyouth.com, and look at those. There's one thing that is going on right now that we need to finalize it this week, and we're looking for 7 preachers. I already found 2. 7 preachers between 22 to 30 years old that want to go to Central America to preach the gospel between May 22nd and June 5th. If there's one person right here that will be willing to be a preacher, maybe you do the 5-minute sermon first and then, you know, the second gets better and better. But if you're willing to do that, that'd be amazing. There is a lot of other events coming up soon and just tune in. There's another thing that I want to show you, and is the next year we'll be focusing in Chosen to Shine. What can we do for the Lord to connect more people? And there's 4 things that we want you to remember. Connect, grow, serve, and share. And we'll be focusing for the 2019 in the first block is connect. How can I connect people? And if you translate it to a discipleship cycle, it just works like all around. We will do it during the year. Every activity, every project, it has to match with the purpose and the vision of ministry. If it doesn't comply, if it doesn't has that, strong vision for service, for growth, we better stop doing it because it doesn't go with what God wants you to do as disciples. And there's a vision that I would like to share. Matthew 24:14 says that once everything, happens, the earth moves, the earthquakes and the everything passes, and then the gospel will be preached, and then what? And then the end will come. But what if in New Jersey, that I've seen that you have a lot of lighthouses, we start with 70 small groups with 7 members and 5 visitors, we make it 12 like disciples, and then we have 350 new youth realizing that there is a greater plans for their lives. That'll be a 33,000. Thank you very much. 33,000 Bible studies just in 10 months. You can take vacation. You can go to Thanksgiving. Don't worry about that Friday night group. Would it be possible 1 group from this church? one group that does the lighthouse mentality to share the gospel. Think about it. We would love to start here. So connect with us. Go to our website. Send me a message or just, you know, social media. We do have all of them, but I just wanted to share what the Youth Ministries Office is doing right now. And also, we'll be willing to partner with you in activity or anything. We would love to see you again, to eat with you again. I went down to the kitchen. Oh my goodness, it smells good. So I promised to do the 20 minute. Is that a deal? I hear more amens. Yes, amen. Have you ever sit down in an office and watch this? You know, I was young. I didn't have this problem. I kind of like play with my brother when we were little and we're living in Guadalajara, and the buses came and we went to the school, we went to the doctor, we always went to the corner or the street and wait for the right number to come. And I remember telling my brother, hey, do you see the number on the bus? He had problems with his eyes. It didn't look as good, as well as me, as in their eyes. But I always won, because I was the one that had good vision. And I smiled. I was, you know, kind of like so proud of myself because I had good eyes. Is a person back there, maybe Angel right there. Could you read to me the last line, Angel? That's a good vision. Did you went to the ophthalmologist and got a... I got a laser surgery? No, he says... You know, now I need glasses. But I don't wear glasses. That's wrong. That's not... I need glasses. In 2010, I was prescribed to wear glasses. And I took the glasses, and it lasted for a few weeks. And then, where are my glasses? I lost them. Then I went back, and I keep going back to the... And it's just so expensive, so I don't wear anymore. I got better vision, for real. So my wife prepares these wonderful juices with carrot and fruits, and I can see now. Before, it was kind of like blurry all the way to the back. So the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good. But you know what? Sometimes this happened to the church, and it is sad. A church with no vision. A Christian with no vision. That wants to see far away, but just can't see far away. What would be the problem? The Bible says, if you go to Proverbs, it says, Proverbs 29:19 says, where there is no vision. You know, some versions say, when there is no prophecy. But actually, the best translation is vision. Because prophecy is giving... He given a hint, given a hint of the future. It's like a little, you know, paint telling you what is going to happen. And there are three different translations for the people cast off. Is the people perished, the people, you know, the crime runs wild. That's an interesting translation. When there is no vision. I like this version. I'll read it from Proverbs 29:18, and says right here, what happened here? I lost it. 29:18. 18, and he says, when there is no word from God, people are in control. People are in control. So I'm going to ask you, how's your vision? And I'm not talking about your physical vision. Because I see that, you know, like Ephraim, he has a really good vision. He does. But how's your other vision? How's a deeper vision? There's somebody said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. This girl was told, you're never going to finish school. You're never going to finish college. Hey, no one before her went to a college as a blind person. She was the first graduate. She had a vision. She had a vision. So I'm asking you today, what is your vision for your life? Where do you see yourself? What is the vision for this church? Because when there is no vision, sad things happen. In other words, if you're texting your vision, it's like, you know, you put some emojis there that it's not good. Every time I woke up, I take a shower, and then in my phone pops up the news for the day. Does it happen to you? And then every time there's something horrible, just like this week, you find that our world is in crisis. There are people that have no vision. Or at least they have their own vision, but don't have vision from God. And there's people perishing. There's people, you know, cast off, restrained, crying, divided. I love the welcoming. You know, all those kinds of things, because there is no vision. And it is sad. It is sad. Recently, this man, George Barna, told the Seventh-day Adventist church that our church is in crisis. And this is a non-Seventh-day Adventist, but he went and you know, interviewed a lot of churches, Seventh-day Adventist churches. And he prepared a report for the General Conference. And in that report, it was written, it was 4% of 18 to 30 years old and 7% of 30 to 40 years old have a biblical worldview. And then we quote, we are in crisis. We are in crisis. This is Christianity around. I do feel like Seventh-day Adventist Church, it does better than this, but I'm not sharing the rest of the, because of the time, but our church is in crisis. I love the program right here, seeing all these young people. And I'm referring to all of them. Amen? The pastor playing the bass. Beautiful. So how's your vision? I'm going to take you to Matthew. Let's read Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Does somebody wants to read it aloud? You know, you find Jesus coming to this world and trying to open our eyes and says, hey, there's a vision. There's somebody that I have wrote before for you, and you have just lost your way. And you see Jesus trying to get it all together for us. I said, I'm going to show you how it is. And then he writes this beautiful piece after you know, healing the blind man, healing people, and saying this is the right thing to do. But he writes something shocking for us. What does it say? Matthew chapter 16. Daryl.
For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
What a contradiction, right? People wanting to be saved, but they're not going to be saved. Huh? Who wants to be saved? All of us, right? I'm already saved. Amen. Who wants to go to heaven? when Jesus comes. Okay. But then the Bible makes a contradiction right there and says like, then maybe those who are going to ask, you know, but we preached the 20-minute sermon. we did, you know, I was a pastor. I work for you. I serve you. I play. I went to Sabbath, to the church on Sabbath. How's your vision? I want to tell you a story about a ship. Do you know this ship? Titanic. Very good. It's interesting that my son learning from this ship, it says that one of these was fake. It was just to give the good look. But only three were needed. But that was just one look. The other interesting thing is that once, you know, the crisis happened on the Titanic, this crisis, only a third of the people that were in the ship, only a third, right here, 706 people were actually survivors. They were rescued from the lifeboats, and they were got a lifeboat. And the reason is because one man that was in charge of putting 65 lifeboats decided not to do 65 because it didn't look good. You know, let's just put 20, he said. And 20 were in the ship. They were supposed to have 65. This guy, when the crisis happened, this guy went to one of the lifeboats after getting all his jewels and money. He was the richest person on earth at that time. And he was on the Titanic. He went and offered to the official money to get in the lifeboat. Because one of the rules, when you're in crisis in a boat and it's about to sink, what do they say? Correct. So what will happen if, let's pretend this is a ship and it's about to sink. Not the church will never sink. Ellen G. White says that God will sustain his church. But what will happen if this church suddenly gets on fire or gets sink? Who will be the last person to stay? Remember, I'm a visitor. Who will be the last person to stay? The pastor wants to move a little farther. Right? You know what happened with the ship? This is the captain is the one that has to stay. Why? He's in charge. It's his ship. It's in charge of the safety of everyone. Very good, very good. It's his ship. You know that Jesus stayed for us. He was the last. He said, "Like, no worries, I'll take care of it." And he gave his life for us. That's a great leader right there. A great captain. But then these guys wants to be saved. And then the soldier goes like, "No. Go away. Woman and children first." And he kept going to different boats because he was in first class and he was able to be out. Because guess what? The second and third class were locked down. They were not able to come up. It's very, very sad. So this guy sank with the Titanic because he didn't find a boat. No one was willing to take his money and risk it. But this guy right here, a private, the story says that he went into the lifeboat and got saved. The only thing is he dressed like a woman. And when people start checking lifeboats before going down, and it was like, right here, hello. He was covered with something to pretend to be a woman. And it was, you know, so this was one of the few male survivors. Other male survivors were crew members in charge of making sure that no other one other than girl, than women and children were in the lifeboats. Interesting, right? Interesting that he took Rhonda's spot, because Rhonda couldn't fit in one of the lifeboats and went down to the water. It was the only woman to be rescued alive from the cold water after the Titanic sunk. She should have been in, you know, the other private's spot. But the worst story is the one responsible for the lifeboat. Remember that I told you how many boats were supposed to be in the Titanic? But this guy decided only put 20. But guess what? He got into one of those 20 and make his way to be saved. Isn't it sad? Isn't he the one responsible to keep us safe, to keep us secure? But he gets saved. The funny thing is he lost everything after that because no one wanted to make business with him. No one. His family left him. He lost everything. Everything. But what? He was safe. He was safe of the crisis. You know, vision impacts the way you live your life. The vision you have impacts the way you're going to move forward in life. It's going to impact the decisions that you're going to take. And sometimes as a church, as a Christian, we do make decisions, but sometimes we do it thinking in ourselves. But what God is telling us throughout the Bible is that, hey, don't worry about you. Let me read the verse in Matthew 16, but let me read you the following text, the 26. It says, "It is worth nothing for them to have the whole world if they lose their souls. They could never pay enough to buy back their souls. The Son of Man will come again with his Father, with his Father's glory and with his angels. At that time, he will reward them for what they have done." See, it's not worth it. So, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, don't live the life just for you. Don't just care for your safety, for your well-being, for your salvation. Listen to me. It's care for others. And that is the most important message in the Bible. Care for other people. And that is the way that heaven works. That is the Jesus way. That is the way that we should be living our lives, caring for others. This is a small clip. It doesn't need music. But it's about the paper, the scissors. Have you seen this ad? And The Rock. You know, we're different. But there's always a way of helping each other. There's always a way of showing kindness. There's always a way of making a difference in somebody's life. We just need to try. You say, maybe you're too small, but I know you can make a difference for somebody. God has designed you to impact somebody. Your community, your school, your work, I don't know. God has chosen us to make a difference in the life of other people. I found this man in the Titanic and the story in the book of Moody. And this is a powerful, powerful story. This guy, John Harper, lost his wife and was returning to America with his only survivor, her daughter. And as the crisis came on the Titanic and people were screaming and crying, he was allowed to go into one of the lifeboats because he was the only hope for the little daughter. So he was taken into the lifeboat. But in the lifeboat, he put the life jacket on his daughter and looked at her and said, like, that it will be okay. I just want you to know that. And he kissed his daughter and stood back and went down the boat. And the officer that was checking that everyone was safe in the boat gave him a life jacket and said, "You're going to need this. Take it with you." And the pastor started preaching. And he started quoting the Bible, the book of Acts, and scream, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And as soon as somebody stopped to ask, you know, for something, and, "Do you know where is my daughter? Where is," you know, people were crying. He offered his help. "Let me pray with you. Have you make a commitment for Jesus? Have you give your life to him?" And he started just praying with people. And it was amazing that many, many people remember him in the middle of the chaos. In the middle of the chaos. Church, we are in crisis. The question is, do they remember the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Do they remember us because we are there for them? Or maybe when the crisis will come and it's going to get worse, I don't feel like, you know, things are going to go well. I'm happy because Jesus is coming. And the Bible says that the world is just going to go down, down, and down. But Jesus will come and will restore us. But what we do impact many people because of your vision. Because of your vision. And then it's amazing. Not usually you find a good vision in the Bible. You know, the book of Numbers. Remember the story of the book of Numbers 13? There's 12 princes of the Israelites. And they go and they see the land, and how many of them voted to go to Canaan? So like, "Oh, the Lord can give us this land." 2. If there was a nominating committee, it will fail them. Because, you know, the majority didn't want to go. Only 2 had what? Vision. Only 2. And there were young fellows. And I do have a big hope in my church because I see young people here. You have to look around, see young people here. This is a beautiful church. And the prophecy of the in the book of Joel, he says right here, I jumped it. "I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters," if we did not understood all people, Joel is going to make it clear. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions." Amen. God is ready to give you vision. God is ready to pour out his spirit on you and do wonderful things. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know if teenagers now that control the tech world right now and young adults will do the same in the church, our young adults, and will do wonders for the Lord. Maybe an app that when you don't have a right or church just press right there and it's like you see all the Ubers, all the Christians that can take people to church. And like, "Oh, I'm there. Boom. I'm very close." What can our young people do? You give them the platform. They do a wonderful program. Isn't it? They do a superb. I want to invite our young people to come here. I want to pray with you. Because I need the Holy Spirit to have a good vision. To have not my vision, but what God wants for this conference. And I'm going to ask you to come here and pray with me. Is that okay? Is that too bold? Is that too awkward? "Pastor, going up there, come on." I want to pray with you. We just studied during Sabbath school that if people pray, right, together in unity, the Holy Spirit will do what? Wonderful, wonderful things. And I want to pray with you in this morning because I know that something great will happen here in Wayne. Not because of the youth department, but because of these young people that are willing to be led by God. To be willing to have a vision of Him. Amen. Look at that. There's a lot of young people. And I see some other young people that are feeling like, Pastor, am I allowed to go up there? Yes. Yes, you are. Listen, I have met several wonderful individuals that, according to my kids, because I look up and say, like, are you young? No, no, you're not. They will tell you. They told me once, Papi, how old are you? And I go like, you don't know. And they go like, that's a lot. But you're young of heart. That is what it counts. And if I'm preaching here to that kind of leader that is willing to support these young people, the leaders of the church, come closer, come closer. Don't worry if we block the screen. We're not going to see the screen anymore. I want you to stand up right there where you are, saying, I'm going to give the leadership to these young people because they are the ones that in the prophecy, it says that they're going to be the leaders. They're going to be receiving those visions and they're going to do a wonderful job. Amen. This is the support that you have, young people. Don't be afraid. Do wonderful things for the Lord. Is that okay? Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, what a wonderful church, the Church of Wayne. And we live in a world that is in crisis. The night has come. And we're just sometimes just screaming and feeling sad and feeling hopeless because there's just so much hate. But Lord, right now we want to focus in you. And we want to ask that you pour your spirit in this church. And these, especially these young people that are in front, that have say, I'm willing to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And I pray for them. Take them and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tell the person next to you, open your eyes and see Jesus. We're going to sing one more song. I don't know if there's time or we just pray. There's time. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. And thank you very much. God bless you guys.